I'm Mary LeBlanc. I just turned 65. Today is September the 19th, 2014. We are in the Sam Noble, Oklahoma Museum of Natural History. And I work in the Vert Paleo Lab with Sue Madison.
I am Sue Madison, and I am older than dirt. I am 76 years old. And today is September 19th, 2014, and we are in the Sam Noble Museum. And I am here with my friend, my Vert Paleo friend, Mary. Now, Mary, you were working here before I got here.
That's right. Actually, I started working here before here was here. I started working at the museum. At the old museum, a little small one on campus before they built this brand new beautiful museum, I saw an ad in the paper that said fossil preparation. And I thought that sounded fascinating. And it met at night, which was perfect because I worked during the day. Also, my college degree was in history with a minor in anthropology and art history, and I always wanted to do something with a museum, hands-on. I was at the time working at the Fred Jones Jr. Museum of Art, the art museum on campus, but I was a secretary, so all I got to do was invoices, payroll, travel claims, and I could see the exhibits, but I didn't get to actually do any hands-on stuff, so I signed up in 1994, and we met in a wooden barracks gym, no air conditioning. In the summer, we wore shorts and T-shirts, and we learned how to open the plaster jackets that the paleontologists had dug up in the field and brought back to campus. And a lot of the ones we were working on had been collected by Dr. Stovall in the 1930s and 40s. They had just been stored all over campus because there wasn't room for them in the museum. And I think at the time they knew they were about to build this museum, so they were trying to kind of get the collection together and open what they had and see what they had.
I can remember the campaign to build the museum. And when it opened, I was still working with my husband and trying to think of something else to do that would be kind of fun and interesting. And so I started volunteering upstairs in the Brown Gallery. And I was there for, I don't know, 6 months, 8 months, something like that. But I kind of got bored because all you did was just stand around and make sure the people didn't do something like touch the pictures and run around. And I would make up stories about the pictures. And then when kids would come in, I would say, well, what happened before this picture? And then what do you think would happen after this picture? And try and get the kids to look at the paintings a little bit different. But most of the time was kind of boring. And so finally I saw a write-up in the paper, and they were asking for volunteers. And I really wanted to work behind the scenes, building the displays or whatever. And so I don't remember exactly. I remember calling Bill May and going upstairs and started working up there. And this was before they had a formal training program.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So a lot of it was just kind of on-the-job training.
Right, right.
And I can remember a lot of times there was Kyle and Bill and me. I think I was the only one up there at that time. But it was the kind of work that I enjoyed doing.
Oh, hands-on.
Absolutely.
Getting your hands dirty, opening, using little teensy-tiny tools to expose the fossil. Were we doing the Tyrannosaur when you first started?
That was before the Tyrannosaur.
Tyrannosaur, okay.
Yeah, and the thing that I liked about it, and I still do, is at the end of the day, you can see what you've done.
Right.
You can see progress. It might not be very much, but you can see progress.
Yeah.
And I can remember learning how to do all of the different tools that now it's just kind of second nature to do.
Yes,
the microjack and the cast cutter and the saws and well, the vacuum.
A vacuum, yes, that's very important, that vacuum. We make a lot of dino dust in the lab.
And because the room behind our room is what they call a, quote, clean room, where they have microscopes, they don't want a lot of dust to go in there. And so whenever we're working with dust-making things, then we have to use the vacuum to suck up the dust as it's being made. And
usually with a cast cutter when we're opening plaster jackets, because it's actually a medical tool that they use to cut casts.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the fossils are in plaster jackets, what we call plaster jackets, they do it in the field.
Yeah, they dig up what they think there might be something interesting underneath. They see a little bit of bones on the surface, and they think there might be a whatever underneath. And so then it's all covered up in plaster, and then you dig underneath and turn it over and cover all that in plaster. So it's a plaster shell, and so that's brought in. So they really don't know, they, meaning the curators, really don't know what's
going to be. Maybe what, but we have the fun task of actually opening it and removing the matrix and exposing what is really there. And that's kind of like a treasure hunt.
It is. Absolutely. Because sometimes we open up stuff that we think, oh, this is really going to be wonderful, and it's a bunch of junk.
Yeah.
I mean, just bone fragments that I think, you know, they really aren't any good for anything that I can
understand. Sometimes it's exciting stuff. If you find a tooth, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Finding a dinosaur tooth. And the paleontologist can tell from a tooth exactly what critter it came from. So, and usually we have people that volunteer. The volunteers come from all different careers. Like, we have dentists that volunteer, and usually they find the teeth. We're going, oh, I can't believe he found that tooth.
No, but they're used to using the tools that
we use. We use little dental tools, little small, tiny little picks and X-Acto knives and things like that, and dentists are used to using those tools. So, and they seem to like working on fossils for some reason.
Yeah, I don't really understand it, because it's kind of, we always kid with Jim because it's kind of a continuation of his day job.
Yeah.
And he enjoys it.
Yeah.
And
it is. It's as much a social activity for us, because all the different volunteers are very interesting. We've had, remember Carolyn and Glenn were medical missionaries and were all over the world.
In Mexico.
So we got to talk to them about
all
the places
they went. Oh, it was fascinating to hear.
Yeah.
And then Sally Johnston. And her avocation is cooking. And so she cooks, and she bakes cookies and cakes and things, and she brings them up. She cooks for competition. And
so we get to sample.
And so she used to bring up stuff for us to try out to see how it works.
Yeah.
But she works during the day now, so we haven't had any. No, we haven't had any for a while. But it's interesting to hear her talk.
Yeah.
And
We have a lot of varied backgrounds of people that come, and it's very interesting to talk to all these people.
Oh, yeah. You know, Bill May was interesting, fascinating to hear him talk, how he and his wife will take off and wander all over looking for fossils and looking for dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And
why don't we talk about the that Tananosaur that they found at McLeod Prison, because the guard that trained the bloodhounds was an amateur paleontologist, and prisoners would volunteer to run. The bloodhounds would track them, and he'd follow the bloodhounds. And one day after heavy rain, he found these bones sticking out. And since it was a state prison and we're the state museum, he called us out and we dug up a whole herd of tyrannosaurs, including mm-hmm. the very first complete tyrannosaur skull. And it was so exciting that when we were working on that jacket in the lab, they mounted a camera on the ceiling, and it took pictures every so many seconds.
Yeah.
And they called it the Tyrannocam. And you could log on to the website, and you would look for Tyrannocam, and you could watch us actually excavating the Tyrannosaur.
Oh, the whole jacket was like maybe 10 feet long.
It was
huge. So they would just open a little bit of it at a time, and we would all be working around. And, you know, you get to working after a while, and you get to feeling a little goofy. And so we might say things and do things that we knew would be on the Tyrannocam. But we always had to make sure that we were dressed halfway decent.
Yeah, yeah. And so looked like we were working.
Yeah.
Sometimes I told my sister-in-law, okay, look on the Tyrannocam at a certain time. And I made a little sign, and then I said, hello, Diane. And so we stuck it up to the camera, but she forgot. She didn't see it. So that was very interesting. That was a really interesting fossil to work on. What about the turtle?
Oh, we came in one evening, and this big, huge mound was in there. Oh, gosh, it was about 2 feet tall and 3 or 4 feet
wide.
This big, rounded thing. And so what was underneath, inside it, was, they thought, was a turtle.
Turtle shell. And the shell and part of the, I'm not sure, part of the feet.
They never uncovered the whole thing because they were afraid it would fall apart.
Yeah.
And so, but anything that comes into the museum has to be decontaminated by
our
gases.
CO2 tent to kill any bugs or critters. We don't want them in the museum.
Yeah. And so I guess this went through the bubble, what they call it.
I asked Kyle. He said it was too big for the bubble.
Okay.
That's why.
Okay. So that's why, because we would be working. And one of the things that we use is acetone to soften the matrix/dirt, sand, whatever it is. And so we would pour acetone on the area we were working.
And then scrape it.
And then scrape the sand off. And all of a sudden, these little ants kept coming up.
Those little harvester ants
came out
of the shell.
And they were so thirsty. They were saying, oh, water. And all of a sudden, they would hit this acetone and think, bah.
So we had to kill them. I felt bad about it.
I know. I really felt bad about it, too, because they'd been locked up in there for, I don't know how long.
And they thought they were getting
months.
But,
yeah.
But we can't have bugs in the museum.
No.
Let's see. What other things that we worked on have been very interesting?
The tail, was that the tyrannosaur tail that we worked on?
All the tendons.
Yeah, the fossilized tendons. They were just gorgeous. Yeah. The bone was there, and then the fossilized tendons were running along that. And that's something that normally doesn't make it through the uncovering process. And so the curator, the paleontologists, were really happy to see that. And that was fun to uncover.
Yes. Yeah. It was almost architectural. All these little tendons
that went along the
tail vertebrae.
Oh, yeah, it is. And that was when Kathy was I think, working. And there was a group of us. Kyle called us the girls.
Yeah. Like the Golden Girls.
And we would just talk about all kinds of things. I can remember when Kathy's dog died.
Oh,
and we all commiserated with her on that.
Yeah.
And she's since moved on to Nashville.
Yeah. But we had a good time. Yeah.
But, yeah, that was fun. Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah.
And that's kind of part of one of the reasons why I really would hate to leave coming in the evening, and because I mean, shoot, I've known Mary for over 10 years.
10 years, yeah. And I thought when I retired, well, I'll come in the daytime, so I wanted to come at night.
Yeah.
But all the people I've gotten close to still come at night because, like, Jim is still working during the day.
Yeah.
And so we still come at night because we've got our little group.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, now we can talk about building the juvenile apatosaur.
Yeah.
We had three or four juvenile apatosaurs that Dr. Stovall had found in the 30s and 40s. But when the museum opened, they didn't have the money to do the baby. And they got a grant and to use the new 3D printer scanner that the engineering department on campus had gotten. Mm-hmm. And we used it to scan the bones that we had. And it could, if you had a right femur but no left, it could reverse it and print it out in plastic. And if we were missing bones, we could sculpt them in clay, and then the scanner would scan it and print it out.
If you had a small bone of that kind, then the scanner could
increase
make
it
a big, you know, the regular size.
Yeah.
And it's a little scary what they can do with that.
Oh my gosh, it was fascinating. But we got printed out a whole little juvenile apatosaur in plastic. But we did not know how long that plastic would last, because it's a new technology.
If it was in a museum.
Yeah.
And so they wanted to make sure that it would last forever and ever.
So we used our old tried and true making molds. We spent 2 years.
2 years. How many bones?
100 and something bones.
I don't know.
I don't remember.
Ungodly
amount. We had to make a mold of every single plastic bone, and some of them, the leg, they would do it in halves. So for one leg, you're doing two molds. And so we had to, I even made a little book, because a manual, because this took a lot of, we had to prepare the plastic by putting clay all around it and getting it ready for the silicone. And to do the silicone, it took a lot of math and careful weighing and percentages. So,
and, you know, I felt sorry for Kyle, because he was trying to teach a bunch of people that didn't know anything about or much of anything about this kind of stuff. And he was incredibly patient.
But so what I did, though, I took notes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I typed them up, and I brought them back, and I had him correct them. And then I took photographs of each step. And so I made a manual, because it took us 2 years to do all this, and people would come in and have to pick up wherever you were in the process. So we had our little manual to show us how to do it. So we made a silicone mold, but it's flexible. So then we had to do a plaster mother mold
to hold the silicone mold so that it wouldn't get bent out of shape.
No. And then after you get the mold done, then we had to mix up the resin.
To pour into the mold.
And you had to put it in the
fume hood.
Fume hood, because you were doing smelly stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway. So it took us 2 years
and
to do all
every
that.
Few months. Yeah, and then curators or somebody said, well, as long as you're making one, why don't you make more, so in case. So we were making 8 copies of each bone.
Every bone, yeah.
Yeah. And every couple of months, we'd get a little restive, and Kyle would say, well, maybe we'll bring something down for you to do. Of course, that never happened.
We got tired of making molds.
We
wanted to get back to our jackets and
excavating.
But when we go in the gallery, there is this juvenile apatosaur that we helped build is there in the display.
And that's kind of the fun thing to, go to another museum, and, you know, you can go up and you can look at the bones really, really carefully.
Yeah, and say, now, is this a real fossil?
Is real?
Or
is this not? Yeah, they did that. Well, I don't think they did that quite right, you know.
And a lot of people, I also volunteer in the gallery as a docent, and a lot of people, the one question I always get, is this real? Now, some of our huge ones are fiberglass, because they're so big, but we do have a giant fossil leg and a toe, a dinosaur toe we let them hold, and then I show them how they can look at it carefully to see if it's real or not. Like our Pinoceratops is 75% real. And it's all real fossil, but the metal is on the outside holding the fossil. So I say, well, look at how it's put together. Do you see metal? If you do, probably it's partly real fossil. If you don't see any metal at all, it's probably a cast.
That's a good
point. Working in the lab really helps me being a docent in the gallery, because I know how that stuff's made and put together, and I help work on some of the dinosaurs that are in the gallery.
Yeah.
And I have pictures that I've taken in the lab that I keep in my pocket, and I can show them how how we collect a fossil and how we do a mold and how we put it together. So
it used to bother me a little bit when I would be working on, it was a hand or a foot. I can't remember. Yeah. This was a long time ago. And you'd really end up with something looking really, really neat. And then all of a sudden it would be gone one day. And it, you know, who knows if anybody will ever look at it again, but it'll spend the rest of its life
on a shelf.
I know, on a shelf.
But people come and do research and look at those things.
Well, you hope so.
I hope so.
And we keep laughing about how maybe there's a little room we can put our initials on there or something like that. And we're still going to do it. You remember when, I can't remember now what it was that we were doing, and we were uncovering the bone, and you do it in layers.
Right.
And all of a sudden we looked at that and we thought, this kind of looks like an old Pueblo, so let's make some people to go on here. And so we took pictures, and we had some people, and we had maybe, I can't remember, we had a car or something, you know, it's just something to
liven up the
make it kind of fun and a little bit different.
Yeah.
And then there were other times when we'd be sitting there working, and Kyle he's kind of got his place where he sits, and we'd think, let's bug Kyle a little bit.
And it would go,
oops.
Uh-oh, what did you do? Just to see if he's listening. Because he doesn't like to hear that.
No.
Not when you're working on million-year-old priceless fossils. But you know, you have to have fun.
I know, and he's gotten really good. He says, well, that's why we make glue.
Yeah.
That's why we teach you how to glue.
Our paleo bond. We have special super glue. It's called paleo bond.
Mm-hmm.
It's for dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they know they're going to be in pieces. In fact, when they're doing the class, we learn a lot about plaster making and stuff, and we always like to watch the new people that come in, because Kyle does a class one or two every year, and people come in, and they have to learn how to do all these different steps. And the first thing they learn how to do is plaster, and you have to learn how to slake it just right. You can't just pour the plaster in the water and stir. You have to have your water, and you put it in a little at a time, little at a time, and it's called slaking, until it builds up to the right point, and then you stir it. And so tells them how to do the slaking, and then there's little molds. And the first thing they do in the class is
they make a mold, a little
bone, and then they get to open it at the end of the class, and they're so proud of that bone. Little do they know that the next class, Kyle has taken a hammer and has smashed up that bone. And the next class, they have to learn how to
put
piece
back
it
together
all
and
back
piece
together.
All
so you learn how to
can.
Do
yeah.
it with the plaster yeah. before you actually work yeah. on the real fossil. So I always like to look at them.
Oh, I know.
And take a picture of them holding their little taller
and then
one. And then the next class, I say, it's in a plastic bag.
I know.
All in pieces. And so I take a picture of them.
I'm surprised at the number of people that have stuck with it at that point.
Yeah,
and
it's a hard class to do. It's a hard class.
It is a hard class.
Because you have to learn how to do all these different things: the plaster and opening a jacket with a cast cutter and then
I mean, Kyle is a very precise person, obviously, because that's his job. And so there's a right way and a wrong way to do everything. But the more I'm around him and what we do, the more I think, it really does make sense to do it that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I really think it is the quote, right
way
to
do
it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
and just in learning how to, there's a reason behind everything, how you take the top off the jacket, what you do and what you don't do.
Yeah.
And remember one time, because sometimes back in the old days, in the field, to separate the plaster from the dirt, they would put layers of newspapers
on there. Yeah.
And nowadays they use toilet paper. But Stovall's days, they used newspaper.
It's fascinating.
And so there were some jackets that Stovall collected that they really didn't know how old it was. And so when we took the top off, we were looking at the newspaper for hints of what was, were there any dates on the newspaper? And that would give us a rough idea of how old the jacket was. And we did find a date, I don't know, 1947 or something.
We did,
like that.
Yeah, that it was a bison scapula that we worked
on.
Oh, yeah,
I remember that.
And it was like 1954, I think, the newspaper.
Okay.
That was a later one.
Yeah.
I remember when Dr. Cefaly came, he said that he was opening jackets and stuff and reading about the Hindenburg disaster and the trial of the Lindbergh baby kidnapping that the newspapers wrapped around those fossils were dated those dates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. So it's we never know what we're going to open in a jacket. It's always interesting because they don't really uncover anything in the field. They just kind of find the edge of it and then encase all of it. So they bring it all with the dirt around it and then the plaster around it. So they kind of think they know what it is, but you never know until you open it. So it's always an adventure.
No, and we're at the mercy of what the curators want to open. We're just kind of... the workers.
But it's exciting because you never know what you're going to work on.
No, and sometimes it's fun when we sit up there and Kyle has a photographic memory.
Oh, yes.
You can ask him about anything and he'll talk knowledgeably about it. And some nights it's fascinating what we end up talking about.
A lot of interesting conversations.
Now, we avoid politics and we avoid religion, basically.
But we talk about
it's fascinating.
You never know what you're going to discover or learn or talk about. Yeah.
And then other times nobody talks. We're just busy working.
Lately, we've all had our
Air scribes
going, and those things are so noisy, nobody can hear anything.
No, those are like little miniature jackhammers.
It sounds like a dentist's office.
It does. It's giant mosquitoes or something like that.
Yeah. So we've been doing that lately because the jackets we're working on now, the matrix around the fossils is so hard that you have to use the little... Mm-hmm. Normally, if it's not that hard, you can use little dental picks and X-Acto knives and things like that. But the things that we are working on right now are the matrix around the fossil is so hard we're having to use a little miniature jackhammer. Mm-hmm. So it's very noisy.
It is noisy. And it makes a lot of dust. And so we do have to end up sweeping the floor and sweeping the table and doing all that kind of stuff.
And we have been on digs.
Yes.
We've been on digs. It's been, I've been volunteering there since, 94, and I finally, Sue talked me into going on a dig. We went in the fall and this spring to western Oklahoma, where an oil company...
They were leveling ground to prepare a pad.
A pad.
And they found what they thought was maybe bones.
Yeah.
And so they had to call in the state archaeologists who said, no, these aren't people bones.
They were white, though, so it looked like it might be people.
Yeah.
So they called. They let us come in. And
way out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, a really desolate country out in western Oklahoma. And windy and dusty.
Oh, dusty.
It was just awful. That night, I had dust in my ears.
I have dust in my camera. I still can't get out.
Yeah.
But it was exciting, though, because we were out in the field actually helping prepare the jackets that all these years we've been working on.
Uh-huh.
And
it was all total manual labor.
Yes. You use little picks and shovels.
And down on your hands and knees. It was hard work,
yeah.
But... there were enough people that you could kind of trade off, and somebody would think, well, I'm getting a little tired, and there'd be somebody waiting to take the place. And so it was fun.
Yes, and, yes. And we discovered what we think are little camels.
And then there was one that I keep bugging them to bring out that we can open up, is the one that Jennifer was working on, that they think it was a jawbone of something or other.
Yes, because it had teeth.
Yeah.
It had some teeth.
Yeah.
They went down far enough, they were teeth. But it was, we were out in the field all day digging and doing plaster to cover it up and excavating and rolling one of those plaster jackets. It took five people to...
Men.
Yeah. I took pictures. And they would, 1, 2, 3, and they rolled it. Took forever, and then you have to dig down until you hit the bone again, and then you put plaster on the bottom. So you have a giant plaster jacket that you have collected in the field. And some of them we're just starting to open some of those now.
And the matrix on that stuff is
awful. That's why we're having to use the little jackhammers and stuff. Because normally we can use little dental tools. That's why I think we have some dentists that volunteer to do this. They know how to use the tools, and they're used to doing little delicate stuff. But this stuff, we're having to use the jackhammers.
Yeah, and the bone is brittle. And so Kyle said the other day, he said, well, if we kind of dig down and pedestal it, then we'll put it in some acid and
see if we can do that a little better.
But that's something that we haven't tried yet. But anyways, I said, there's always something different. And it's always kind of fun.
Yeah.
And the other night I asked John, I said, do you mind my going up to the museum two nights a week? And he says, no. He says, I could just stay home and cook what I want and drink lots of wine. And he says, I don't care.
So we do. We have a good time.
It is fun.
You never know what you're going to be working on.
No.
It's exciting. And then... part of it we worked on, and it's now on display in the museum. You can tell people, well, I helped build that.
I know. I wish that I could put my name on some of that stuff, just so that, because some of it is it's unique, and there's just a lot of stuff there.
Yeah,
and there are things there that have been there for 50 years.
Yeah, there's still some of Dr. Stovall's stuff I haven't opened. They do have digs every summer, and they are doing high school kids. They take them out to the same area that Dr. Stovall found all the original in the western Oklahoma. Now they have students every summer that go out and do digs.
And always get a couple kids that think that will follow up and maybe be paleontologists. I don't know.
I don't know.
But I'm still amazed at, just the other day, I just had this little, 2-inch piece of bone that I took over to Kyle, and I said, what do you think this is? It was just from a clod of dirt. So it was just pieces, fragments of bone. And he said, well... he's not really sure. He thinks maybe it's part of a face or a jaw, but he doesn't really know. But even to look at that and figure that much out. The knowledge that they have is...
well, they have to know anatomy just really, really well. In fact, one of the students that studied paleontology here is now teaching anatomy at a medical school and does digs in the summer.
Really?
Because you learn so much anatomy... learning how to do the vert paleo stuff that he is now teaching anatomy at a medical school, and then he does all his digs in the summer.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I figure I just take the dirt off and polish it up, and that's all I do.
But we have fun. It's a social thing, too, because a lot of different people that volunteer there from all different areas, backgrounds, We have a lot.
Mary, I helped Mary get her second dog.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
And I wouldn't have been able to do that if I hadn't known Mary.
Yes.
And so, we do have a good time, and I think I'll continue doing this as long as I can.
I think I will too, because this kind of goes along with my degree with anthropology, I figured that I worked all these years, so now I can do something that I got my education in and can have fun with it. And we learn a lot, you know. And I've, since I also am a docent in the gallery, I've been doing a lot of great courses to learn more about how all the earth formed and how the dinosaurs, what different eras they came from and stuff. So also, the stuff I work on in the lab, I can tell people about it in the gallery. So since I've retired, I've been doing a lot more courses and stuff online, so I can have more stories to tell.
You really follow up on that more than I do. I tell people, what are you doing? And I say, well, I'm a fossil preparator. And they say, a what?
Work on bones.
Yeah. But I enjoy it.
Yes, I love it. I love it.
I like the challenge of it.
Yeah. And so many interesting people volunteer in the lab.
Yeah.
We've gotten
made
a lot of good friends. And like in December, we all get together and have a Christmas party. Yeah. Well, we all bring food. And this year I'm doing a PowerPoint with all the pictures that I have taken all during the year of the dig, turning a jacket.
That's our entertainment for the
evening. Yeah, I'm going to have the entertainment because I've taken pictures of all the stuff that we've done all year. And then we're going to have a dinner, and then I'll be the PowerPoint show after we eat of all the stuff we've done all year.
But, as I said, I enjoy it, and I like the people.
Yeah.
And
we feel like we're helping the museum, you know?
Uh-huh.
This is a great museum. This is a terrific.
It is a good place.
Yes.
And if I had more time, I don't know if I could learn all of the stuff that you have to learn, though.
Yeah.
I really don't.
But we learn a lot in the lab.
Yeah.
We learn a lot about bones now. Ribs, we can find ribs and femurs and stuff now.
Yeah,
teeth are good. We know.
Oh, a tooth. Yeah. But anyway, I do appreciate, Mary, you letting me reminisce a little bit.
Okay. we've known each other how many years since we've been in the lab together?
I know, a long time.
Yeah.
And I'm glad
we went on that dig together.
Yeah.
You convinced me to go out in the field and do a dig. Yeah, I'm glad I did that.
Yeah, there were some old people, a lot of old people.
Well, it was mostly old people out in this dig. It was amazing that all of us old people digging and shoveling. And
we weren't sore the next day.
Yeah.
We really weren't.
No. It was fun.
It was
fun.
Good.
Yeah.
But that's about all I can think of.
Yeah. We enjoy the other people that volunteer at night with us. We like learning about all the fossils we get to prepare. And we think maybe we're helping the museum.
Can't get much better than that.
No.